Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for braving the cold, the historic cold we have here in Florida. Sorry to all the New Yorkers, but as I look around the room, people in sweaters, sweatshirts, coats. As I told some people, all you need is to spend one day in New York, and you come back here to Florida, even in the cold, it's not a problem. That's the real trick for a midwinter vacation, is you don't go to a warmer place, you go to a colder place. And that way, you're more used to your environment for the rest of the winter. I heard from my father-in-law. He spent the middle of the winter in Ottawa one time, and that solved all his woes in New York. Okay, so today's topic... Yeah. So today's topic is entitled Mikvah Construction. Different designs and customs. Harvey, when you were writing the introduction, the email to this week's share, Harvey assigned the fact that I'm giving a series on construction. Since last week we gave a share on Erev construction, so this week we're giving a share on Mikvah construction.
I think all your shiurim are constructive.
Thank you very much. That wasn't really my intention. To leave, maybe some politics aside, one of the impetuses to do the share, anyone who's paid attention driving through North Miami Beach, notice on every bus stop, there are signs for, usually bus stops are not the place to advertise for such things. But there are some signs about the new mikvah being built here in North Miami Beach. Yeah, there are some adjectives and advertising slogans with it that probably caught some people's attention. But if it's a topic that's happening around us, we should understand more about mikvah construction and the different types of mikvah construction. Now, in general, we all know that a mikvah is a very important part of the Jewish community. Jewish community that, in fact, we're in the days of Shoavim, days that we give chizuk to this area, Taras HaMishpacha, a family keeping the laws of purity, is a big deal. And really the idea of every community having their own mikvah is very important. Chazal even talk about having a mikvah before a shul. That's how important the building of a mikvah is. So it's a big deal. And obviously anyone who supports the upkeep or the building of mikvahs is a tremendous thing. But actually, similar to what we also talked about last week by Erevin, besides the fact that Erevin are also very important for community, but a mikvah is something, mikvahs, very few people have real bekiyas, real tremendous knowledge in the topic, the halachic area of mikvahs. And even the tremendous halachic understanding is not enough. In building a mikvah, you need a lot of technical building, engineering ideas. I might say, just from researching it, it seems from the outside, you know, in some ways maybe it's even more than Erevin. And we saw last week, Erevin could be quite complicated. We talked about the Google Earth, you know, monitoring and figuring out landscapes and constantly checking things, and so many things that go into checking and setting up an Erev and knowing landscaping and building and so many areas of construction. Building a mikvah too also requires a lot of engineering construction ideals. And as we'll see in today's share, through the ages, there have been different ideas of how to construct the mikvah. And really something that the people involved have to be absolute buckies, absolute experts in the halachas of mikvahs, but also in terms of building. Practically nowadays, there are certain people that are known to be, you know, experts in design of a mikveh. Someone told me a story where they were checking into a mikveh and they wanted to show the plans to a certain posek. Posek said, "Who made the plans?" So they said, "This person." "Oh, this person, I'll have to check it. I know he knows what he's doing." Like, there are experts out there in the field of mikvahs to turn to, just like there are experts in the field of Erevin. And definitely people involved in projects should turn to such people. Now, in terms of mikvahs, you know, the basics in the olden days, mikvahs are pretty easy. Right? You have a pond of water, you have a mayan, spring, and you know, people went in water, springs, over old times. Over...
They found the clothes in houses in Beitar.
So I'm about to get to that.
No,
yes. Yes. Lemaisa Haguva, because they were so high up. Over the ages, and you know, people living, as you just perfectly described, on mountains, right, in Eretz Yisrael, in all different spots. You're bringing up Beitar, I believe Masada. They found, through the ages, they started building indoor mikvahs. And the most classic indoor mikvah, if you find in one of your excavation trips, you'll find a hole in the ground. And that is the mikvah, right? One of the most famous mikvahs, right? The Arizal's mikvah in Tzfas. Talk about cold.
Ice cold.
You guys are not freezing today here in the shir, even if you have gloves on. Try going to the Arizal's mikvah, right? What they say about the Arizal's mikvah, if you go to the Arizal's mikvah in Tzfas, you'll be guaranteed to do tshuva before you die, right? The joke is, yeah, that means while you're in the mikvah, before you die, you will be doing tshuva. But, Anandi probably went, right?
It's overrated.
It's overrated.
It's a deterrent to have to go to the mikvah.
Yeah.
Hashem told the mikvah.
So, okay. So, no, for those of us who've seen the Arizal's mikvah, it's one pit in the ground, 40 saw, right? That simple. Over the ages, people started building mikvahs in different ways, not just a hole in the ground, for basically two reasons: halachic and hygienic. Halachically, okay, if you're using mikvah just for a small, it's your own personal mikvah, so you need 40 saw. Measurement of 40 saw has to be in the mikvah. If your mikvah is exactly 40 saw, the Mishnayos and mikvahs talk about this. So obviously, over time, you're taking water with you, and the mikvah will dip, excuse the pun, below 40 saw. Right? It's going to be less than 40 saw, so you're not going to have a kosher mikvah. And especially when you want to build a mikvah that's going to be used by the public, if multiple people are constantly going into this mikvah, so over time, you're going to lose water. So there's a need to have a mikvah that will not lose water over time. So that's one reason to change from the old version of just building one hole in the ground. The second, especially, now it could be in the olden times they weren't so into this stuff, but nowadays there's a thing called, you know, hygiene. It's not so geschmack to go into a mikvah where other people already have gone multiple times. Thus, you want a mikvah that is cleaned out and that is more hygienic. Notice I use the word more hygienic. So, you want a mikvah that's cleaner. So that also led to the idea of having multiple boroughs, multiple mikvahs. And the basic idea is you're going to have one source of 40 saw. That's going to be the source, some people call it the otzer, the source of your kosher mikvah. And then you're going to have another, what's called a big pool, where everyone's going to go in. And that pool, you're going to change the water. And that you're going to make nice, hygienic. We'll talk about heating it up. And that's going to be the mikvah that people are going into. here's the tricky thing. Your first mikvah, the 40 so when no one's going into, okay, that's your kosher mikvah. The other one, you're filling up with hose water, with rainwater, with not with rainwater. Mayim she'uvim. Tap water from the pipes, from whatever. So how do you make that second pool into a mikvah? So that's what we're going to go through today. Just set down basics and then go through different designs of how people do it. So really, this is a modern day issue where we're into both halacha and hygiene. And we're not just going to have, look, if you want to build in your backyard, figure out how to build a mikvah. You know, it does rain over here. We're not in the desert in Arizona, Nevada. So you could have a 40 saw rain water mikvah in your backyard. You know, unfortunately, I do remember some situation of someone building a mikvah in their house in Brooklyn, and I don't know, bad construction people, and they blew up the whole house. Remember such a story?
What?
Right?
They hit a gas line.
Yeah, it was actually one of those, you know, illegal constructions, and you know. People.
Oh, it's illegal construction.
Illegal construction. You know, a guy installing a mikvah in his house and the whole house blew up. But so don't try this at home without knowing what you're doing, or contractors know what they're doing. But for the most part, nowadays we're building mikvahs, it's going to be what we call two mikvahs. A source of a mikvah, a classic 40-saw mikvah, together with another big pool where you're going into, where people are using. How do you connect those pools? So it's basically two mahalchim. One idea, both of these are spelled out in the Mishnayos throughout the mikvahs. One is a concept of hashaka, literally kissing. You want the water of the kosher mikvah just to kiss, just to touch, ever so slightly, really even a small relative amount, where the water of the kosher mikvah comes in contact and kisses the water of this pool. And that kiss will not be a kiss of death, it'll be a kiss of purity. And now this mikvah, now this bigger pool, will now become a kosher mikvah. Very cool halachos, right? That one I brought down, if you look in Maseches Mikvahs, Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches. Mitarines of Mikvahs. We could be metar a mikvah, a body of water. Elyon min atachdom, an upper one through a bottom one. Varachok min akarov, something further from something close. Ketza, maybe silon shel cheres or shel aver. You bring a pipe of pottery or the like. Umeniach yado tachdom, ashim is malamayim. It's filled with water. Umoshko mashiko afil kisara dayo. And you it flows and kisses the waters of the kosher 40-some mikvah to these other waters. It's kosher. So practically speaking, we'll get to the exact design in a minute, but if you have some type of hole between your 40-some mikvah and this other big pool, that would be sufficient to kosher the pool. So now the pool is a kosher place to go into, kosher mikvah.
Does it have to be transferred to water?
Yes. You know, there's some touching, some transference of water, but even a relatively small amount, we'll see, that's good enough to make a kosher mikvah. Now your pool is kosher. That's one basic idea. The other concept is Zriya. Zriya has more of a flow. But basically, the idea of Zriya is I have a 40-some mikvah. Once I have a 40-some mikvah, I could roll into it hundreds and hundreds of lugin, hundreds and hundreds of measurements of rate of tap water, and it's still a kosher mikvah. Because once you're 40-saw, you could absorb as much mayim she'uvim and be good. It's only when you dip under 40 saw, then you have your problems. But once you're 40 saw and you have a stable 40 saw rainwater mikvah, you could flow into it other water and all be good. So that too people do to connect two areas. on the quotes.
Is there any issue of, I guess, how fast you add that other, the Mayim Shulvim?
How quickly
you,
it goes in?
If you theoretically had a giant tank and you were able to dump it all in at once versus letting it flow.
Does it need to be bottled on the mikvah each time?
Basically.
I don't think so. I'm not sure. Good question. How exactly
sure,
the process?
Could mean that there
right.
would be, like an industrial hose.
Yeah. I saw someone giving a share on mikvahs, so I thought he had a very good analogy. He said, I'm giving a share how to build mikvahs. But, you know, just like you wouldn't watch a YouTube video of a doctor performing surgery and then try it yourself, please do not watch this video and try to build a mikvah by yourself. Right? I'm giving that same warning.
Yeah.
And especially don't do it without proper permitting in your house, lest the house blow up. Yes, all those warnings.
That's what I taught my clients. Don't write your own will. You don't want to perform brain surgery on yourself.
Now, practically speaking, now that we have these two basic concepts of how to connect water, either through just a minimal kissing of the water from the 40 saw to the pool, or more of a flow, a zriya between the two. So I want to go through basically three different designs of how to build mikvahs. Okay, three different designs. Harvey, you're looking for the other picture? I only put down two of the more complicated ones. Now, the most basic way that we build mikvahs is bor mitzad bor, a mikvah one alongside of the other, which basically means, yes,
who are we?
We, compadre.
What was that?
You're going to get there.
I got that. How do we build mikvahs? I still stick to my words. How do we build mikvahs? So the basic way that we build mikvahs is side by side. You have a 40-saw mikvah of rainwater. That's your otzer, that's your source. Next to it, you have your bigger pool, and that's where everyone's going into, right? They're not going to, in the average mikvah, you go into a room, you don't see the other source. Not that you walk in, you see two pools. No, it's behind the wall, you don't have to see the connection. But there is another mikvah that's attached to that, and that's the 40 saw. That connects on a hole on the side of the wall to the big pool that everyone's going into. And as long as that hole is open, that mikvah, that big pool is kosher. It's a kosher mikvah.
Why isn't it your minute? Why doesn't it remain open once you kosher?
Say it again?
Why would it need to remain open?
Oh. My chaperone's asking, how come you need the hole to be open? Once it's kosher, why can't you then shut the hole?
No, that's the nazimik.
Yeah.
Shine.
Yeah. So that's true. What happens though? Firstly, for sure they bring up issues when they want to clean out the mikvah and then put more water in. So then you can need to open it to re-kasher it. But what about once I created it, could I then shut the hole? So I'm not sure. The whole business gets very tricky. That really is one of the parts of this mikvah where people get a little nervous. Because you could have a metzias, right? That hole is so important because that's going to be the way to kasher the mikvah. If you shut the hole and let's say you're cleaning it out, now someone else goes into the mikvah without that hole being opened. So they just went in the pool of water. They didn't go into a mikvah. And their tahara was done improperly. And then woman's with her husband, child is, you know, that's not good. That's problems.
Let's say, for instance, you set up a system where we refill it after every person went in. There's a simple bathtub with a hole. Fill it up,
use it, dump it.
Yes, so in that type of case, right? Rabbi Shaffer's dreaming of a super hygienic mikveh, which I do not think exists, where they constantly change the water of a mikveh, right? That's definitely forward thinking.
Only the size of a bathtub. Huh? So I know they use about 100 gallons.
Okay.
About 40 so.
Yeah.
An average bathtub is about that size.
Not bad.
But that concept of kissing, does that have to be going on all the time?
So that's what Rabbi Shaffer was asking. So I'm not sure. Part of the issue with, you know, these holes is the idea of the fear that it won't be constantly reopened. But you're right, nowadays we could do things, we could program things. You know, we could have smart mikvahs. And you could program that that hole to constantly open, to unplug it and work it. Yeah, maybe. But there's a lot of forward thinking going on in here. This is very impressive. Right? We're coming up with new designs right here, right now. Smart mikvahs. I have to figure out what the price tag on such a thing would be. Not so simple. Now,
virtual connections.
Yeah. My phone wants to touch that I made kosher, so does it always have to be open? Now, there's a second design of a mikvah, not side by side, but rather one on top of the other. Same, to start off, the same basic principle that I'm having one mikvah kiss the other mikvah, but here your source of the mikvah will be your bottom mikvah, and the one on top of it, that will be the pool that everyone's going into. Now, the origin of this comes from one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, Rav Shalom Ber, I believe the Rashbab, what did I say, funny? But that's what you're talking about before. And that has become what the world calls Lubavitch Mikvah, Nobor HaGavibor. For the record, Satmar is also into this. It's not just the Lubavitch thing. Satmar, you know, is a pretty big.
How can anyone argue when Lubavitch and Satmar agree on
Satmar
something?
Satmar had both.
Huh?
Does Satmar have both?
What do you mean by both?
You can do both in one bit.
Oh, we'll get to that. That's the deluxe version coming soon.
One's from Brooklyn, one's from
Monroe. Right. But I think they agree about how to do a mikvah, though. But the Lubavitch version of building a mikvah is bor al gabi bor. Is one on top of the other. Now, what's the chachma, what's the kunz in doing it that way? So firstly, they hold a few things. So number one, again, people being nervous about the hole being closed. People being nervous about the hole being closed. So in here, it's one on top of the other, they seems they keep the hole always open. And now a little tricky. Okay, the hole's always open. So that means it's always flowing between the two. What happens though if someone steps on the hole? Right? So then it's not flowing in between the two. It's not kissing between the two. So then,
when you're stepping, no one's being able to say anything anyhow because you're not free in the water, right? You can't be holding the wall while you're actually toweling.
Right. No, but you're stepping on the floor of the mikvah.
You pick your feet up when you.
Oh, you mean because you get the bottom of your feet?
Right.
Say, what if there are two people on
so
the
mikvah? You're never toweling with your foot on the floor.
What if there are two people in the mikvah? What if someone else is in the mikvah?
Okay,
the
right. But then it's a problem.
Okay, good. Good. Huh? So, you know, I guess if the...
It only happens in men mikvah.
in the classic side-by-side where the hole's in the side, so I guess there they're not worried about a guy rubbing up against it and blocking the flow.
Why can't you just keep the hole open? Side-by-side. That's the problem.
keep a side by side open also. No, because I'm bottom and top one. We talk about one mikvah on top of another
the
mikvah.
The reason that they want to do the bar gadol bar because they want to keep the hole open, they just do a side by side.
No, the bar gadol bar is a flow issue.
Yeah, so we'll get back to that. Hold on. Part of the reason why they sometimes close the hole also is you want to keep your original 40 saw intact to some degree. So that's also a reason they put a stopper there. But anyway, on the one on top of the other one, bor al gabei bor, so Shalom Bear also instituted to have two holes. So just in case someone's stepping on one hole, if you have a hole on the other side, so that they wouldn't. But, so in general, they keep the hole open, which I think is a maila over the side-by-side one. Also, you want to put a grate. Where are you putting a grate?
Like a box.
Only if it's big enough a dome grate cover and stuff.
No, it steps on it.
Bigger than that.
So stop, no one gets near there. Yeah. It could be in design. Huh?
They put a cage on top of it.
Yeah, they don't want people banging themselves into it. You could sue people for mitzvahs.
It's like a practical question.
Right. You want a flat floor. But you have a flat floor with a grate.
They have a grate. They also have these rounded grate. I was like, there's a practical question.
No, yeah, okay.
They have a practical solution.
No.
If the halachic question is another
story. Right. Okay, but there's another reason. This sounds like the main reason why this Lubavitch approach to build a bor al gabei bor is there's a sheet of the Ravid. The Ravid sheeta is that your original mikvah, which is doing which has the 40 sa of mikvah water, that should never go down to less than half of 40 sa. That would be less than 20 sa, basically. So where you have, let's say, one side by side and the what's it called open and the hole open, so technically the water eventually does drain out of that 40 saw mikvah. You're gonna have to make sure to refill it eventually. But so you're not gonna have less than your rove 40 saw doing that hashaka in the side by side mikvah. In this mikvah, they claim you won't have that problem. Part of it is based a little bit on physics, because it's one on top of the other. Your top mikvah, where people are going into nowadays, all those mikvahs, we don't do nowadays, all kemat, I'm sure most places, your mikvahs are heated up. So if your top water is hot water, which is heated, your bottom sourced mikvah is cold water, so hot water rises, and the cold water and the hot water don't mix. That's the nice chop of bor al gabei bor. That's how they do it. So you heat the top one, there's no point in spending extra money to heat the bottom one. You don't do that. Why should you? No one's going there anyway. Keep it cold, keep it separate, and everything's great. Right?
It's not that heat rises, it's heat tends to rise is the technical term, because eventually a little bit will come down. So over time, eventually they'll have to refill the bottom one with kosher rainwater.
Yes. Now, we'll get back to this idea of the Ravid. Who for halacha, we don't pass about the Ravid, it's a das yachid. And it is a little funny just to try to build a mikvah to be yotze some shita, which no one holds of. Yes?
So, just practically speaking, do they keep the heater on all the time, even when it's not in use? And do they keep the whole, the mashika open the whole time? Because if they only turn it on to heat it when it's being used, and when it's off, you still might have a problem.
Yes, I'm not sure the heating, right, interesting point. I'm not sure the heating element, how do they practically run the kvos? They have it heated the whole time, I can't imagine how much it costs, but I'm sure it costs good money. Anyone goes to these houses in Orlando, right? How much extra do you have to pay for heating the pool, right? You know, and these mikvahs usually are nice size. It depends on the pools in Orlando too, but
it's so expensive to eat it. They can't keep it on all the time.
Right. You know, it could be they'll only keep it heated for hours, the mikvah is in session.
Yes.
Now, so this, if it just stopped here, okay, you know, so there's two ways to do it. You could do it side by side, you could do it one on top of the other. Okay, normal, one approach, there's Chabad approach. It does get a little tricky. The Sanzerov, the Divrei Chaim, wrote a tshuva and was very negative towards Chabad's version of a mikvah. And he based it on the concept, Mishnah and Taharos, that katafris eino chibur, that when you have something connecting through a slope does not make a connection. So if you're connecting side by side, there's no slope. It's going in one mikvah into the other, is going in side by side. But where it's going in one on top of the other, there's a concept that we have in Taharas of katafris eino chibur. If something is sloping together, that's not called a connection. Connections could only be horizontal, not vertical. Now, that itself, if you stop right there, that's tricky. That means that you should not use a mikvah, ideally, that's made one on top of the other. The better way is to design is do it side by side. When you do one on top of the other, Divrei Chaim says you have a problem with Katafris and a Chibur. So Rav Moshe brings the Divrei Chaim. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas on this topic in Igros Moshe, Yerodeah Chel Gimel, Simen Samache. It's an interesting simen because he brings in one simen two different tshuvas. Don't find that so often. Usually two tshuvas are found in two different spots. But here, he decided to publish two tshuvas together in the same simen. So in the first one, I believe it was written earlier, so there he brings the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov. And then he says, look, I'll read from the third line. I'll read from the beginning. Why not? He literally passes the mikvah. It doesn't undo the issue of your pool is tap water. Ramosha says, depends on the design of how the mikvah on top of mikvah is built. And he says, the Sanzerov would be right in a case of where the bottom bor, which is the kosher water, you have a top on a pool with maim she'uvim, and connecting them with a pipe from top to bottom, that'll be a problem. You're having a piece of the ground, piece of the tile, really cut out. If you look actually in my picture, there's a picture, it's not my picture, but I found it. If you look in the bottom of your sheets, you see that picture. The right side picture is a picture of this, we call a Chabad mikvah, bor agabi bor. So where the bottom oz beis, that's your 40 saw kosher mikvah. The top part was used with regular water, that's your mikvah pool. If you see, there's basically a plank. There's a whole big tile, that square box with a hole. That tile is the practical way in which these mikvahs are built. So Rav Moshe says, if you have a ritzpah nekuva mafsekah, it's been a ma'ilamayim, you have a hole in the ground, in the flooring. Sheyesh yichashiv zeh mamash mikvah achas. You know what? The stomach that really has a din of one mikvah. I believe Chabad says it might even be called the Milo of Zriya. It's really flowing from one to the other. It's not you're connecting two mikvahs. Rav Moshe says you can argue the Chabad mikvah is kosher, and this issue that the Divrei Chaim brings up, that's an issue if there's a pipe connecting them. But where it's really just a plank, and without that plank there, this is all one big area. So Moshe says you could view it as one big mikvah, and that wouldn't be a problem. Okay?
What was the Divrei Chaim talking about?
The Divrei Chaim, so Moshe says, the Divrei Chaim's argument makes sense in a case of where there's a pipe between the two. So it's a sloping pipe, not where the whole floor would technically opens. You're not opening the whole floor at once. You're just having a little hole open. But really, that whole piece could be lifted up. So Moshe says that's different, maybe. At least that's what he writes first in this Jew. Now, for the record, the idea of the Divrei Chaim, the Katafer Sein Achibar, potentially being a problem, was not something even the Divrei Chaim invented. I found in the Mishnayos.
Is it a whole piece could be lifted up, or is it just a hole?
So I'm not sure fully.
Say it's really one pool.
Right.
If the whole top of the bottom pool was able to remove, but in the case of the picture on the right, that's not the whole top of the pool, it's like a small section of
it. Right.
It makes it still one.
So it's much larger than the small hole, but it's just,
right.
It's just a hole.
So Moshe says in London somehow we could call that, like he's saying, like one big thing.
So why don't you say the same thing with the hole?
Now,
the Maya can mean what size the hole is. It's not the same size as the whole pool.
Right. Now, I'll show you a fascinating thing.
It's
if you look in, hold on. If you look in the Tiferes Yisrael, in the Mishnayos, I found, it's on the Mishnah that we talked about of doing Hashaka, Os Beis I have there. The Ein Lahakshos, Daka Ponim Ketafer Sein Achibar. But the Taina of the Divrei Chaim, how can you connect these two mikvahs, right? Where the Mishnah itself talked about Ha'elyon min ha'tachton, katafres ein achibar, sloping does not connect. Yesh lomar da'ainu bilachashi ve'elyon v'tachton k'michu barim. Katafres ein achibar would say the top and the bottom are not fully connected into one. Aval k'kavon ha'machshiv ha'shapa k'negoin. Da'arib makam negia ein shem katafres. So he gives an answer that Katafer Sein Achibar would stop it from being considered one big mikvah, but it wouldn't be a problem of Negiah. That's how he dances around this. Interesting. Now Rav Moshe is saying stronger. Rav Moshe is saying, no, it could be considered somehow one big mikvah, which definitely is not so poshut as a defense.
If the whole floor was missing.
Yeah.
Instead of having a big box underneath, you have just one long pipe that's 40 saw all the way down into the floor.
Yeah.
And that was your 3 foot, your gimel exposed. His mom was 40 saw straight vertically down.
Right. I'm not sure how to explain that fully. I do want to show you, though, there's a second tshuva from Rav Moshe. What's interesting. Who was this tshuva sent to? I remember 25 years ago here in Miami, he gave a shiur here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Stern. Rabbi Stern, the old-time Rav of Miami Beach.
Rabbi Tibor Stern.
Here he's referred to as Shmuel Tuvia. But yes, Rabbi Tibor Stern, the old Rav of Miami Beach, sent this tshuva to Rav Moshe. He was asking about heating up a mikvah. Like, I don't know why Miami Beach were the first ones to think of heating up a mikvah. Maybe because the people in Florida couldn't deal with the cold, as we see here.
Maybe they were chilling the bodies.
Yeah, I don't know. But it sounds to be funny that the first shiloh that was sent to Moshe about heating up a mikvah came from, you know, from posh, you know, Miami Beach. But anyway, so Rav Moshe here goes again through the issue of the Divrei Chaim's Taina on the Chabad Bor Agabe Bor Mikvah, and he gives a similar type of answer. But he writes, I'm reading like six lines by the end of that first paragraph, column. Av mash b'shem k'sas, she'af achar she'omdim ha'mayim, ikka p'sul k'tafis k'sha'karka shal mikvah ena shava. But Moshe says, sounds like he's writing here, is even after he gave the same chilk he gave before to defend the mikvah of Bor Agabe Bor, but he's not sure about it. There still might be an issue there. Then he goes further. Then he brings, he heard about the Satmar Rav, was very into Bor Agabe Bor. And he writes in the last line, Mi'achash b'chorif, right? This happened back then too. Minagav l'seinu b'yadeinu. Look what he writes. Mi'achash b'chorif, bottom of the Miami Beach, kama me'elu, shaychonim l'chasidei Satmar. Nowadays, Rav Moshe wrote this in Tufshin Lamed Gimel. Wow. Yeah. 40 years ago.
We're in pay.
Huh? Sorry, pay. You're in pay already, right?
It took me a second.
Right? Rav Moshe wrote this 50 years ago, but for the past 50 years, Satmar Hasidim have been coming to Miami Beach. Nothing has changed in the past 50 years. How did I come to North Miami Beach? Also. What's wrong with that? Someone's still going to Miami Beach. So he writes, Arei Shabra Madish, the Sagan's, okay? You know, people, Satmar Hasidim want this. Maybe we should do this. Now look what he writes after this. Even if you're going to argue and defend the Chabad Mikvah, that there's no psul of Katafris, Avo Milo Lekabaza. But don't tell me there's any Milo, Rav Moshe writes. Vanilo Reisi, then he comes up a pretty strong kasha. Vanilo Reisi Bedivre Shulchan Aruch Rav, or the Sefer Tzemach Tzedek. Shum Remez Bezeh. I never found in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, doesn't mention anything about this in Hilchos Mikvos. I didn't find in Sefer Tzemach Tzedek anything about this. Moshe is really questioning.
Whoa.
You know, this Chabad Minog is relatively modern. The original Rebbes didn't do this. You don't find this in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. You don't find this in Sefer Tzemach Tzedek. So why are they all of a sudden being machbid on having Bor Agabe Bor? Pashtus is, the Alter Rebbe went to a mikvah, which is side by side. So if a Chabad person tells you he can't go to a mikvah that is side by side, just ask him the question, which mikvah did the Alter Rebbe go to? The Shulchan Aruch Rav. That's Rav Moshe's kasha. Now, Lemaisa, he does right at the end, L'chein tov shestamun latzeiz gamal liva masha omrin b'shem l'sat merabu. You know, it sounds like Moshe is very into being, you know, politically correct and servicing as many people as possible. Oh, it's good that you make a mikvah that works for many people. But just in terms of a design of a mikvah, if you ask Moshe straight up how to design a mikvah, Moshe will tell you side by side. Is there, and are people want to do one on top of the other? Yeah, there definitely are. Rav Moshe says he doesn't see any Milo on one on top of the other, then by side by side. Oh, so I was going to get to that one. The clock is ticking, but let me quickly just spell out. If you look in the bottom left-hand column, there's a whole complicated deluxe mikvah, what I call. There, you really have three or four mikvahs going on over there. This is trying to get every pitchavka, as they call it. Yeah, there's really four mikvahs going on over there. You have the big mikvah for tefillah. You have one This is from the Chelkas Yaakov, really developed first this mikvah idea in Zurich, where you have the upper of those two next to each other. That's a bor zriya, that has a big hole. And basically you're flowing the water, 40 saw, into the big mikvah. So the first mikvah, the pool is being connected through zriya, through sowing. But also, you see in the bottom side, there's another mikvah there. That's being connected through neshika. So you're basically connecting your big pool two ways, through the zriya and through neshika. And the neshika one happens to be a bor agabi bor. So you get Chabad Satmar in that too.
Only if you go into that.
Yes, I was wondering about that part too, how exactly that works.
The Neshika side by side doesn't work, so you have to go into the Chabad people, you have to go into the other one.
No, but if it's emanating, you know, the original mikvah where it's doing the original Hashaka esotericism. But there's two, the second, it's only as weak, as strong as the weaker one. I'm not sure. But Shefin, you had some good kashas today. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, so there are some people nowadays, they build mikvahs with all these milas. Again, I saw from Ramosha, Ramosha doesn't seem to see what the mila is of this, doing the Chelkas Yaakov's way either, so simply, you know.
Lamaisa,
anyone knows every extra step you have in building mikveh, you want to build. You can build as many more you want, but it drives up the price. It makes it much more complicated, you know. So a community has to make decisions what's worthwhile for them to do, you know. You deal with public funds, and you know it's not easy to fundraise for these things, how to do these things. I did hear, you know, I spoke to one posik about it. He says, yeah, you know, the idea of having a mikvah that's connected in both ways through both Hashaka and Zriya is a nice mila to have. You know, Lo Yitzer, you can have that, and it works. But, okay, you know, end of the day, there are these different designs of the mikvahs. Hashapshat, it seems, according to all shitas, you could go in the Iker Adin, could utilize all these things, as long as it's a kosher mikvah, whether it's connected through Hashaka side by side, that should be kosher for everyone. If it's connected through Hashaka, one top of the other, Ramosha gives pretty much a heter for everyone. If they're using Zriya, that's good. As long as you have, you know, competent rabbinic bodies on top of this body of water, then you are good and okay. Problem is when you have a mikvah when it's not run by Rabbanim, and they're not really on top of it, and it's more of a private mikvah that some guy decided he wanted to build. So then you could run into more problems and question the kashrus of such a idea. But either way, what emerges from here with all these different designs and ideas is building mikvah is complicated stuff. And only the most competent, well-trained, both halachic and practical engineering people should be involved in the building of these mikvahs.
So someone's not Chabad, he's a Chabad mikvah.
It sounds like from Ramosha, yes.
He said not to use the
Chabad. Yes. Yeah, I'll end with one quick story.
He could.
You know, one of the we're talking about just in general watching over a mikvah. You know, one of the trickiest things I was discussing with my son, he understands building with concrete. You know, one of the tricky things in the mikvah is not to have holes in the mikvah where there could be leakage. You want to have your 40 saw intact, be leakage. So firstly, they say nowadays when they pour the cement, if you're the rav or machshir on the mikvah, you don't just give over your plans to the foreman, the contractor, and let him do the rest. The rav should be there at the pouring of the cement to see how it was poured. That it was poured well, that it won't have cracks. That's how intensely the involvement of a rav should be in the building of a mikvah. I remember I was zocha, I did Shimas by Rabbi Bluth, one of the top Talmudim of Ramosha. He was involved in building his own mikvah in his community. He was hawking all the time about it. All different ideas, chaps. You really have to be on top of these things. But interesting, you have to check a mikvah periodically that there's no leakage. When do you do it? Practically, what you have to do is, you know, put down all the water in the mikvah and fill it up and see if there's any leaks. So when do you shut down a mikvah?
To Shabbat.
Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Lower East Side mikvah, which he would be personally in charge of, he would be very against shutting it down any other time of the year, because if you shut it down, that means people can't use it. He would dafka check it on Tisha B'Av. That was Rav Moshe's chap, because husband and wives can't be together anyway, and no one's going to the mikvah, so he'd check it on Tisha B'Av. I believe that custom spread the Klal Yisrael. Rav Moshe's, you know, we do it on Tisha B'Av, and okay, if you see a Rav going in and out of a mikvah on Tisha B'Av, now you understand why. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful